Hey, welcome in. Time for a daily editorial. It is Wednesday midweek. That's always a good day for Big Al. I have often wondered how the Biden administration is able to get cooperation in terms of negativity on their opponents. They seem to be doing it by executive order. To me, that seems very, very I don't want to say unpatriotic. I would say, sure, it's unpatriotic. But it's also very, very undemocratic, in my opinion. Jim has researched this topic, and he's got the answer to my question. Jimmy, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, so I think it is important to understand what are the legal authorities that the Biden administration, previously the Obama administration, had used in order to shape the efforts they have with the Department of Justice to attack the political opposition.
Right.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is the entire Russia involvement in the 2016 election narrative that has been debunked, that was falsely done. But how was the DOJ and the FBI allowed, and the intelligence community allowed, to go forward with that? So at the end of the Obama administration, actually just before the 2016 election, Barack Obama had said that there is no way the Russians could influence the election. Barack Obama said this. There's no way the Russian government could influence the elections because our system is so dispersed and within each of the states and local communities that it would be impossible to have a big impact on our election. Now, he said that publicly. What happened after Trump's victory, because that was a surprise to everyone. They had assumed they had controlled the narrative well enough and that Hillary Clinton would win and continue on Barack Obama's policies. And he was campaigning heavily for her. That surprise win created conditions to be able to use that same narrative that the Democratic Party and the Clinton administration had coordinated early on to paint Trump as a Russian puppet.
Yeah, I believe the word they used was spy.
Right, and they've made all these accusations that he was working directly for them. And of course, a lot of people in the United States believed it because they heard it directly from these different federal agencies. Now, the authorities that were allowed to go forward with the investigation were because Barack Obama late in November, signed an executive order to investigate the origins of potential Russian intervention in the election and foreign intervention. So that gave the FBI and the DOJ and the intelligence community authorities to go forward and look at all aspects of this. And that's how the FBI, with Jim Comey and Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, and a lot of these individuals, were able to push the narrative and then kind of legally cover themselves, because they said, hey, we've got an executive order to investigate, and there was some potential evidence here, so we had to follow it up. Now, it turns out that evidence that they had to use, that was, some of it was manipulated by the FBI and the DOJ. Some of it was directly paid for by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. And of course, we know the Hillary Clinton campaign has paid a Federal Election Commission fine of over $100,000 because they falsely claimed that election interference money to pay for the Christopher Steele documentation. But the key element here is to understand that once there was an executive order signed by the President of the United States, the intel agencies, the law enforcement agencies, and all elements of government were able to go ahead and investigate. And with that investigation, they were able to smear and leak Donald Trump and the Trump administration.
Yep.
And that included getting Michael Flynn fired as the National Security Council chairman right up front. Now, fast forward to the Biden administration. The Democrats understand, and Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic Party, the people behind the scenes, the Obama administration, they know that method worked well for the Russian narrative, and they repeated it again with the white supremacist information. So basically, the President of the United States, in an executive order, because of what happened on January 6th, prior to him taking office, prior to Biden taking office, he signed executive orders after taking office to go ahead and identify potential domestic terrorists and domestic white supremacists and domestic organizations that would undermine democracy. So he gave a carte blanche letter for the Department of Justice and, of course, the FBI to go out and start looking at different white supremacy organizations. So they're allowed to investigate based on the executive orders, which have all been validated in courts because of our national security system that has evolved since 9/11. So basically, using all the powers of government, including intelligence collection, spying on individuals, is all justified because the Biden administration says there's a national security threat from basically conservatives and potential national security potential white supremacist organizations.
Right.
Now, there's no real justification for that, just like there was no real justification for the Trump-Russia collusion narrative that they built on it, but they used little bits of evidence. And the courts have continued to approve it because of these laws that were put on the books by Congress, allowing the executive branch to have more power to investigate for national security purposes potential threats to America and domestic terrorism.
Boy,
now, that is exactly
what happened.
Vladimir Putin did
yeah.
in 1999 and 2000 in Russia with the apartment bombings and Chechen war in the south that created conditions for him to call call all these people terrorists. And then he eventually cracked down very heavily on anybody that was not only involved in potential supporting the Chechens, but also in anybody that was opposing his administration and his policies. And that is the template that the Democratic Party is using right now.
And they're using, obviously, not only that, what you just gave right now is not a singular event that was utilized. That's just an example of how all of the events taken together were able to occur.
Exactly. That is what we're seeing now is a kind of a accumulation of the national security state that was basically that the Democrats had warned about in 2002, 2003, 2004. They'd warned strongly about the potential use of the Patriot Act and other tools, National Security Agency spying, to look at domestic, terrorism through the eyes of Muslim extremism. But now the administration, the same Democrats, are using those powers for their political entities of anybody that potentially is an extremist, and they are claimed to be an extremist because they may not be supportive of the administration's policies. And that includes the Catholic Church, because the basic fundamental principle with the Catholic Church is pro-family, anti-abortion.
Right.
So that's where you see DOJ and the FBI getting justification to investigate pro-life advocates and the Catholic Church, because, in fact, they have been given blanket authority, political authority from the executive branch for national security concerns to investigate. And then, of course, with those investigations, they leak information, they put it out, and they basically silence individuals and use that power of law enforcement to intimidate.
Yeah. Well, and that's how they got the, I believe you're saying there were federal agents attending a lot of the Easter masses at some of the larger Catholic Church to basically take a look and see, what the parishioners were talking about, correct?
Yes, apparently there's quite a bit of information that's coming out now. And Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, who is acting at the behest of the Biden administration, lied in congressional testimony and congressional hearings saying that they were not targeting specifically Catholic churches, when in fact it's turned out from whistleblowers and documents that they have been, the FBI and the Department of Justice, have been spying on and specifically targeting potential religious organizations because of their belief of extremism.
Wow, what an amazing movie this is eventually going to be, is eventually going to happen because of all of this. It's going to take a while, but I really believe there will be a movie that is going to depict everything, Jimmy, that we've been saying on this show for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. It's absolutely amazing to me that in the United States of America, actions like this can actually occur. The Watergate situation and the movies that came out of that with Dustin Hoffman and what was his name?
Robert Redford.
Robert Redford, I was going to say. The kid, the outlaw, yeah. I mean, that was a great movie. The book was a great book. The one, it's not going to share a candle, so to speak, with the book that will come out about this one, in my opinion.
Well, history, if somehow we are able to get out, basically unscrew this mess.
Right.
Then history is going to show this incredible overreach of power with the Democratic Party using the insiders in Washington. And that includes Republicans that have pretended to be Republican, but they're so dependent on protecting their power.
Yep.
That they've lost touch with what's going on with the people in the United States, which is exactly why 2016 Trump was elected.
Yeah. You know,
if in fact the history continues to be written by people objectively,
right,
then it will show this in the future. The problem is the United States is the example for the world for free speech, and we're an aberration in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
Our Constitution, giving people equal to or greater power than the state, is absolutely unique in any human history, including in Athens in the little experiment they had with democracy.
Yeah.
Democracy, specifically democracy by itself, without representative control, without a balance of power, is the most dangerous form of government. Because in fact, if you just can vote, you get enough people on one side, you'll vote the minority out of power, and basically make it equivalent to the movie or the show Survivor.
Yeah.
You keep voting people off the island until there's only two left. And that's what democracy will eventually do. It'll destroy itself.
Yeah.
That's why we have very specific protections on free speech and freedom of press, freedom of religion, is in order to counter that. And of course, the separation of powers between the three entities, our congressional, our legislative, our judiciary, and then our executive branch. But right now, the executive branch has way too much power that it's been given to by the legislative branch. And of course, many of the judges and the system itself is skewed towards a long history of progressive ideology. So we're losing a balance of power that is based on the foundations of our Constitution. That's what we're facing right now. And if without that, the world is in trouble, and we will not know who will write the history, whether it will be people that still believe in those values or people that will erase history like the Soviets did or like the Chinese do now.
Exactly.
So it's a very difficult problem.
It's a very difficult situation, Jimmy. There's no question about it. Your explanation was, I would have to say, very, very accurate, very simple to follow, and I'm sure that it was beneficial. Most of the guys on our blog know quite a bit about this as it is, but those who are either new to the blog, or if we decide to put this on the radio, it's going to be a great service to them, Jim. Anything else you want to talk about? I think that was pretty important.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I will follow up. I noticed, you know, some of our people on the blog, they talk about, you know, how effective China has been in raising people out of poverty.
Right.
How strong Russia has been. There's two things I want to point out. First one is China absolutely created, and the leadership, the Chinese Communist Party, created the conditions after World War II that undermined the future of the Chinese people massively and killed millions,
right,
tens of millions, if not 100 million people, based on the Mao's Great Leap Forward and, of course, the Cultural Revolution. They created the conditions to put them so far behind. The China out of history, way back, thousands of years, had a culture that was very effective in trading, very effective in had a deep historical set of values. Those values were destroyed by Marxism and by Mao, and those people actually undermined the economic future of the Chinese people. So they're not doing wonders to get ahead. They are actually just now getting even to where they should have been many, many decades before.
Yeah.
And when you talk about Russia, once again, Russia has made it illegal to question the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And they are arresting people, they are imprisoning people, they are intimidating people, and that includes any media outlet.
Yeah.
So if you're, there are a few people that are standing up and trying to speak out against what's happening because it's so destructive to the Russian population and in the long term, very damaging for Russian's long-term security.
Yeah.
It's a huge mistake. But you can't question it in Russia. And of course, we have a number of people that kind of look and watch at this ideologically kind of shifted or manipulated view that somehow there's justification for this violence and destruction. I would recommend everybody watch All Quiet on the Western Front. Any one of us listening to it, it's the latest, I believe it was either nominated or potentially won the best picture for this year's Academy Awards, which, I don't even really watch Academy Awards anymore, but I watched this movie the other night, and it absolutely explains the futility and the horrors and the ridiculousness of human intervention in war, in specifically with World War I and the German loss there. And I'd say pay attention to that, because what you're seeing in Russia is the same type of futility right now on the battlefield as the Germans had at the end of World War I.
Well, I want to ask you one last question. Big press conference yesterday dealing with a security leak pertaining to, I believe it was a Ukrainian situation, and I believe the whole thing emanated from the Philippines. You want to talk about that?
Well, I think, yeah. So basically there's a massive, what they call massive security breach, with a few slides from and some information that came out on Discord on U.S. intelligence estimates, right, and some highly classified documents. And I actually, I still hold a clearance, so I got to be a little bit careful, but I reviewed some of the documents online.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of hullabaloo about a couple of issues that I think are, one, I think they're inaccurate.
Okay.
And two, it's a lot more smoke than fire.
Yeah.
The first one I want to say is the latest, which is, we have U.S. Special Forces on the ground in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, U.S. Special Forces have been on the ground in Ukraine since the end of the Cold War, just within a year or two afterwards.
Yeah.
We started this Partnership for Peace, and we established what they called military liaison teams. Military liaison teams went and worked with the embassies to help train and develop former Soviet countries into a more civil control of a military situation, and to help them integrate into Western ideas and views, and Western to reduce the potential for conflict.
Yeah.
It has been incredibly successful. The Eastern Bloc countries integrated into NATO. That's been very successful. So basically, U.S. Special Operations Forces have been involved in Ukraine for a couple of almost three decades now.
Yeah.
And the second part of that is there's probably, they're talking about 14 people off the slide. That would be an ODA, and maybe with a little bit of intelligence support that is operating out of the Defense Attaché's office. That's what I did for a living. I did it numerous times. I had ODAs come into Georgia because of problems all the time. It's not unusual to do that.
Yeah.
I would suggest that there is a big intelligence effort to support, and I'm speculating, but a large intelligence effort to support Ukrainian combat operations because they are a NATO Partnership for Peace partner, and because they have done tremendous efforts in supporting NATO and U.S. operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. So they're a partner nation, and there's probably some agreements to help them identify and target Russian forces there.
Well, nothing, no big deal in the sense that everybody knows that the U.S. has been supporting Ukraine for quite some time now.
A lot of smoke and a lot of screaming and yelling over this stuff.
Right, exactly.
But the reality is, it's really not that informative. The information is not. It's actually the 1st of March. It's over a month old. I would say that some of it is probably accurate. Some of it is probably not. I couldn't confirm or deny either way. I would say that. We haven't done the best job from an intelligence perspective for a long time, and who knows what's behind all of these leaks.
Right. Well, they're there. That's the point. Jimmy, thanks for the earlier lesson in terms of how things that are somewhat questionable get done today by the executive branch of the American government. Appreciate it, Jimmy. Let's get some comments, you guys, from some of you on that, and a few comments also on America's involvement in the Ukraine, I think would be appreciated. Jim, thanks so much, bud.
You bet, Al.